Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Seven things you don't really need to know, but probably should. I'm Kira Revan, and this is the Sunday Seven.
On this week's award-winning Sunday 7, we find out how older Swiss women might dramatically affect climate change in Europe. We get exciting news about NASA's new Japanese partnership, and we pay tribute to a Nobel Prize-winning physicist. But first, on this day in 1927, American Clarence Birdseye launched his patent application in the UK for frozen fish fingers. He claimed to have developed a specific method of preparing and freezing fish, which made it as good as fresh food. He was a former hunter and biologist in Labrador and noticed that fast freezing in the sub-zero temperatures kept food tasting fresh, so he spent 8 years developing a technique to apply to commercial food. There was a strange verdict this week at the European Court for Human Rights that could have major implications across Europe. The court found that the Swiss government had impacted the health of 2,000 elderly Swiss women by failing to do enough to combat climate change, and there are seven more cases waiting to be heard based on the same argument. The case argued that government inaction has affected the women's human rights, and campaigner Savant Belka from the Senior Women for Climate Protection in Switzerland group was delighted with their victory.
I am so, well, shocked, positively shocked, so happy, because we could do something. We could do something. We could contribute to the future, to a better future for our children.
The group's intention is to force the Swiss government to move faster on climate initiatives, and with cases scheduled from Germany, Italy, Norway and many other countries, it could have a significant impact. Norma Barghezzi says it's a serious issue that has major implications for their group, as they are particularly vulnerable to global warming.
The Swiss government has done too little on climate change. We have health and quality of life consequences for elderly people, and women are particularly vulnerable.
Jessica Seymour is a human rights lawyer and one of the legal team who took the case, and she says it's important to understand this verdict doesn't just affect Switzerland.
First of all, it's binding on all member states of the Council of Europe. So all the member states need to look at this ruling and ensure that their legislation provides carbon budgets which will take you down the path to meet the temperature threshold of 1.5 degrees provided in the Paris Agreement. And secondly, it's important globally because effectively what it says is that states who signed up to the Paris Agreement, knowing what it meant, must meet those obligations. And a failure to meet those obligations is a breach of their citizens' human rights.
The papers have been full of stories this week about a possible ban on sales of smartphones to those aged under 16. It comes as the government appears to be increasingly concerned about the addictive nature of phones and the impact it might be having on teenagers. Digital addiction has been recognised by the World Health Organization as a public health issue, but is banning phones for teens the answer? There's only one man we can turn to in moments like this, and that's the Smart 7's tech guru, the slightly croaky Will Guyot. Will, can you put the phone down for a second? How serious is this proposal?
Hang on, just finishing this game of Candy Crush. Well, judging on press coverage this week, it looks like the government believes this proposal will play very well to those in the UK over the age of 16.
There have been a number of people campaigning for restrictions on phones for teens, and it polls well, apparently. But is it just the government micro-parenting the nation?
Well, I'm here to explain the stories and not get on my high horse, but tech companies don't force parents to buy smartphones, and they don't make you download apps you don't want the young people in your life using. Now, it is clear there are some tragic and emotive stories around the use of technology as a young person, but as a whole, smartphones do not equal bad. Today, there's a boatload of parental controls added to apps, platforms, and even specific phone models. So perhaps maybe the government should promote them first before trying to ban phones themselves.
We know that most of the social media platforms are deliberately designed to be addictive. Any sign of big tech dialing things down?
No, but they would argue that they put protection in place for younger users already and that parents need to do more to stop young people accessing apps. This week, Meta's gone head-on into this argument by dropping the minimum age for WhatsApp to 13 from 16 years old. And while the press and campaigners go for Meta, it's hard to ignore that last year, over half of Brits under 16 admitted to already using WhatsApp, and Zuckerberg didn't force parents to make that happen.
It wouldn't be a tech update without a mention for our old friend Elon Musk. He's been chatting AI this week, hasn't he? And he sounds a little alarmed at the speed in which artificial intelligence is progressing.
If declaring war with the Brazilian Supreme Court this week wasn't enough, Elon has turbocharged his prediction that artificial intelligence will be smarter than people within the next year, just as long as shortages of silicon chips and actual power, energy itself, doesn't limit companies. Around a year ago, he said this wouldn't have happened until 2029, so he's knocked around half a decade off in his latest Nostradamus-esque vision. But before you get too excited, let's not forget that Musk's predictions aren't a patch on those of Mystic Meg. The self-driving Tesla was going to be fully operational in 2016, SpaceX would have sent its first mission to Mars in 2018, and Neuralink was going to install its first human brain implant in 2021. Out of all those initiatives, one of those happened, and it was 3 years late. Well, the other Musk innovations haven't yet occurred.
Finally, well, Thursday night saw the BAFTA Gaming Awards. Who won big and who got blue screened?
It was a huge year for the role-playing game Baldur's Gate, as it scooped up 5 gongs for Best Game, Best Music, Gamer's Choice, Best Narrative, and Best Supporting Performer. As a Dungeons & Dragons game, fans and critics alike have celebrated Baldur's Gate for this rich level of detail, the vast customization, and the story that allows for a unique set of characters and routes through every play of the game. Elsewhere in the awards, gloomy survival horror game Alan Wake 2 and puzzle game Viewfinder both grabbed 2 BAFTAs apiece, while Nintendo picked up awards for Super Mario Bros. Wonder and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Gaming in the UK is bigger than ever before, with sales topping £4.7 billion last year.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, the US and Japan take one giant step towards the moon, and there's a buzz about honeybees. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida was in Washington this week for a meeting with US President Joe Biden that discussed international trade, a new plan for a joint air defense network, and hot topics like Ukraine, North Korea, and Taiwan. The meeting also included a new agreement which will see much closer cooperation between the US and Japan when it comes to the moon, as President Biden announced in the White House Rose Garden.
He also affirmed the science and education ties between Japan and the United States. Those ties stretch up to the moon, where 2 Japanese astronauts will join future American missions, and one will become the first non-American ever to land on the moon.
With Japanese astronauts joining the Artemis moon landing project, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson also had another significant announcement. NASA is working with Japan to develop a pressurized moon rover, which will allow astronauts to not just land on the moon, but actively explore it.
Japan will develop, for NASA's use, a pressurized rover to rove with our astronauts on the lunar surface. It's a mobile habitat. It's a lunar lab, a lunar home, and a lunar explorer. It's a place where astronauts can live, work, and navigate the lunar surface, leading to magnificent discoveries for all of us. Our partnership with Japan goes back decades. It touches every corner of our work in space and in the skies, in science and technology, to study our fragile Earth and to help protect it.
There was some good news this week for bee fans in the US, at least as the American Census of Agriculture revealed that there's been a big increase in the number of honeybee colonies in the US. Mays Vaughan is the Pollinator and Agricultural Diversity Program Director at the Exeter Society, a science-based conservation non-profit organization, and says it's sweet news.
Honeybees are here. They are more abundant now in the world than they have ever been. There are honeybees everywhere.
The improvement in numbers by more people taking up beekeeping at home and increased industry demand for honey for things like almond milk. While bee colony numbers have increased, the level of honey production remains slow, and there are still considerable challenges for bees between climate change and pests. Lindsay Simone is the owner of Goose Rock Farms, and she's a professional beekeeper.
A little bug, barely the size of a pinhead, called a varroa mite. It kills colonies every year. It kills millions and millions of bees. Millions of colonies.
There's also a warning that climate change poses very specific risks for honeybees, with warmer autumns leading the bees to overwork themselves, according to a study from Washington State University. Dr. Gloria DeGrande Hoffman is from the Carl Hayden Bee Research Center.
What's happening with these warmer fall and early winter temperatures is they're flying way too late in the season. And these bees that should be young bees with no flight experience are now getting plenty of flight experience, and are physiologically older bees going into the spring. And what happens is that when they start foraging and flying in the spring, they start dying. And they're dying at a rate that is greater than new bees are emerging.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, good news for migraine sufferers, and we catch up with Ukraine's Batmen and Women.
Right after this.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back.
They say if you've ever had a migraine, you'll know it. And about 10% of the UK population suffers from the condition. It presents as an intense throbbing pain, usually on one side of your head, and can include other symptoms like sensitivity to light and sound, nausea, and difficulties with sight, which produce a sensation of auras. Migraines can either be chronic, which means more than 15 days a month, or episodic, which could be less frequent. The good news is there's a new treatment on the market which is designed to give relief to sufferers by blocking a protein which is found in the sensory nerves of the head and neck. It's called Aquipta and will be available to about 170 patients initially based on clinical guidance. Rob Music from the Migraine Trust says it could make a big difference for people suffering from the condition as long as it's widely available.
It's officially been approved, and so we'll hope it'll be made available as soon as possible. And I think that's really important. So it's the first oral treatment to help people who live with both episodic and chronic migraine. But the bit about availability is very important. So the Migraine Trust last year, we produced a report which showed that there's a real inequity in postcode lottery about access to treatments. So we've got these new therapies coming through now. Really exciting. And for those that have had them, transformative. But there's a real inequity at the moment, and the people aren't able to access them even though they're eligible.
There have been many consequences from Russia's war in Ukraine, and as Ukraine struggles in the absence of American funding and military support, Russia has intensified its shelling of Ukrainian targets. This week saw one of Kyiv's major thermal power plants effectively destroyed by a Russian airstrike as Ukraine's air defense systems run out of ammunition. One of the unexpected casualties of Russia's shelling has been Ukraine's bat population. Animal rights activists from across Ukraine have been gathering injured bats and nursing them back to health, releasing 200 back into the wild just this week. Anton Vlasenko works at the Bat Rehabilitation Center.
It's very difficult to find wounded bats after shelling. But this winter, we have received bats from Kherson and from Nikopol. Volunteers found them while helping civilians and their livestock that were hit by shelling. They found bats there, brought them to us, and we then rehabilitated them.
What? The death occurred this week of Nobel Prize-winning physicist Peter Higgs at 94 years of age. He was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics in 2013 for his work in 1964 discovering the new particle known as the Higgs boson. He first proposed the particle at age 35, but it wasn't until the Large Hadron Collider was built in the CERN facility in Switzerland that physics was able to catch up with his theoretical work and demonstrate that the Higgs boson particle did in fact exist.
Not many people took much notice of this kind of theory at the time. They were doing other things, which was why it was left to a few people, few eccentrics to do it. I was more or less summoned. I was told in a message, tell Peter if he doesn't come to CERN on July the 4th, he will probably regret it.
His theory has been the so-called boson particle helped to bind the universe together by giving particles their mass. His prediction has been described as a deep insight by John Ellis, the former head of theory at CERN, and the fact that this theory was proven correct was a crowning moment for the unassuming physicist. He spoke briefly at the event in 2012 and remained modest about his achievement. Rest in peace, Peter.
I would like to add my congratulations to everybody involved in this tremendous achievement. For me, it's really an incredible thing that it's happened in my lifetime.
This has been the Sunday 7. Wherever you're listening, do us a favour and hit the follow button. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. with the regular Smart 7. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Written, produced and published by Daft Doris.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.